Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
The Hall of Famer, as always, we gave him another week off last week. We're very generous with him, but we do appreciate his time. Kevin McHale joining us again, as he does weekly on the show. Coach, sorry to get in the middle of your ball striking session, but in one way or another, we'll call this a ball striking session because we'll get some things that get to you. But first and foremost, you got your general manager hat still on, the way you would normally look at the NCAA tournament, watching it like a hawk, and what stands out to you in the first couple weeks?
Well, you know what? I didn't think there was a dominant team all year long. I thought some teams played well. I thought Duke had found rhythm with the ACC tournament, but then, of course, they get beat. I don't see a team out there that you go like, man, this team is definitely is the favorite. There's about four or five teams. Arizona, I think UCLA. The teams I look at, Michigan, Wisconsin, they got hot at the right time, but I just don't know if they shoot the ball well enough to be able to go on. There's a bunch of teams I like, but Nova gets canned, and I thought that with their ability to play small and just kind of play a unique style, drive and kick, a lot of penetration, a lot of stuff off the dribble, put pressure on the team. But right now it's wide open. I look at this and I don't see any team that you go, wow, I see a lot of really good players.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you about.
His dad must be, but Lonzo Ball can really play. I mean, he might be my favorite player in the tournament left. He just moves the ball. He just does a lot of little things, and he controls the game without shooting the ball. And there's very few people that can do that, and he's one of those guys. And I like watching UCLA play because of it.
Would his dad scare you off as a general manager?
No, not at all.
Not at all?
Not at all. Not even one bit. That kid can play. I mean, he makes everybody better. I think his teammates really like playing with him. And when you get in the NBA, you got to remember now, you're going to have older guys that are just going to, they're going to bust his chops. I mean, they might see his dad and, give him a ration of crap. Like, hey, Pops, what's wrong with you? And it's different. It's not like you got a bunch of, college kids and young kids. You got adults. You got a lot of grown men in the NBA, and they're not going to. Yeah, that's not going to bother them at all. I mean, they probably, like I said, will probably get more of a chuckle out of it than anything else. I know I would.
But don't you think, Coach? You said it's a man's league. Don't you think at some point there's a player, an older player, that says you're not going to come in here all cocky and rolling, regardless of your old man or anything else, and they're going to knock him on his ass?
Yeah, but everybody gets knocked on your ass if you're good. I mean, that's part of the initiation. I mean, but I don't think the kid's cocky. I'm trying to think right now if I've ever heard the kid say something outrageous. But he comes in, he says, I didn't play that well tonight, or I got to get the ball to this guy or that guy, or I can do better. I really have never heard the kid. Now, I've heard his dad say outrageous stuff, but, I have never heard the kid say anything like that.
Hey, Coach, how are you enjoying the Players Only broadcast? I got to be honest with you, and I said this when you weren't here, so I'm not just pandering and kissing your ass.
He did.
But you're pretty much the only guy that's listenable on the Players Only. Are you enjoying doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I like the Players Only stuff. I mean, it's a different vibe. You're not calling the game as much as you're just talking about that game in general, a lot, but in context of the entire NBA, I mean, it's like, as opposed to just saying, everybody's got a big screen TV, and I never understood kind of when you have to say, Blake Griffin makes a 17-footer. I think everybody watches Blake Griffin make a 17-footer. So if you're in the middle of talking about, hey, their defense is really good because of this or that or whatever, you don't always get, I think sometimes on regular broadcasts, your thoughts do get somewhat scrambled because, you're trying to cover everything, and the conversation sometimes just gets gets funny, but you know, it just gets different, you know. But I know with the players only, the conversation just keeps on going. There's no really need to describe what everybody's watching on TV, so it's a different vibe. I mean, I like it. I really like Greg Rip Hamilton's a great guy. You know, Dennis Scott's really fun to work with, and so there's just a bunch of good guys.
I can tell you this. I mean, the stories and the anecdotes are what make it, because when you guys have the time, and you know, when I used to work with our broadcasters, radio guys, you got to get every detail, so the play-by-play is the man. But on TV, like you said, you can see what's going on. So the color guy is the guy that's supposed to drive the bus. And when you guys are driving the bus, at its best, it's the stories of when Rip Hamilton was on those Pistons teams and running guys off of screens, or when you were playing, you know, in the Celtics heyday. That's what people are trying to eat up on this. And I think sometimes it gets lost when Greg or Brent tries to do too much play-by-play wise. They want to hear the stories from you guys.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like we had discussions about the difference of today's game and when I played. You know, it's more, it's you know, you get into, you know, guys driving, chucking cutters, hitting people, but you know, all of the hand checking that was available and how it really influenced everything in today's game and how it's different. But you know, I mean, I think that they're interesting discussions as long as it just keeps free flowing, and you don't have to stop that discussion to say someone, you know, hit a jump shot. You know, and I think they're all interesting discussions. I think that I see so many people just saying the old game was the only way to play and blah. Well, I don't believe that. I think I like the new game. It's different. And so when you look at statistics and you look at things, I just think some people are you know, don't take into consideration the rule change. Like right now, if you're talking about NFL quarterbacks in today's game, I mean, you got to see, you know, that the defensive backs can't touch any of the wide receivers. So, of course, they're going to be way more free-flowing. You know, I don't, you know, like people say, well, this guy couldn't play back then. I believe everybody who, everybody put everybody back in the 80s, after a couple of weeks of shell shock at how much they got hit, they'd all adjust. I think if you took a lot of the guys from the 80s and put them in today's game, like I said, if you can't touch Larry Bird or Magic Johnson or those guys, do you know what they would do? I mean, those guys were like, I know you're talking some of the best players who ever played. Those guys are so superiorly gifted that they think, well, would they be able to play in today's game? Are you kidding me? I mean, they shined when they had everybody grabbing, holding, and trying to punch them.
And that behooves us to get into the number one topic in the NBA right now, which is rest, and which is the commissioner addressing it now. And we've had the conversation on this show about how do you police that, because, you know, you guys can say as a coach or a general manager, hey, he's a game time decision. And, of course, the fans get screwed. I said, well, you could have a flex game, but then have to report the injuries earlier, and to Barry's point, look, a guy could stub a toe in the first quarter or just fake.
Agreed.
So how do you police that, and what's the right answer?
You can't, and I tell you right now, I want to see this, because I've heard people say, well, the statistically they show that if your body's tired, you have more of a chance of getting hurt, okay? And I'm thinking, well, you know, show me that stat. What do you? How did Karl Malone and John Stockton play every game? What were their chances of getting hurt? Was the fact that they were really tough? And that's a part of it. Is those? If you think that Karl Malone and John Stockton never got hurt, I'm not talking injured. You know, you're not playing with a torn ACL and an MCL tear and meniscus and blowing your knee out. You're not. I don't care how tough you are. You're not playing with that. Those guys got hurt a lot. They took knees in the thigh, knee to knee. They played every single game. Show me this. Like now, honestly, what they would tell you? Well, they couldn't do that. They couldn't do that now. And I'm thinking, so let's see, you could do it back then when the schedule was tougher. You flew commercial. You didn't take care of your bodies. Nutrition wasn't a thing. You didn't have 17 trainers. And they were able to do, I want to see the, now it's easy to say, well, if you're tired, you get hurt more. But show me the statistics where you say, well, a guy played 5 games in 7 nights. And there's more injuries in that 5th game in 7 nights. You can step on a guy's shoe and roll your ankle and be out 2 weeks in the first game of the season, as much as you can. I don't believe all the BS, and I really don't like it that everybody is just, you know, well, I'm not going to play this guy. I think it really screws the fans. I really do. I think that, and hey, look it. If you're going to say that, okay, we're only going to play, our guys are only going to play 65 games a year. I can guarantee you that ESPN, TNT, the Turner Broadcasting Network, ABC, they'll say, well, I tell you what, then give us a 15 to 20% deduction in what we pay for put these games on and promote them and everything else. Then what we want our money back.
Yeah.
And you know what? That ain't happening. Because every, you know, and so I don't like it. I can't stand that, you know, everybody trying to defend it. I just don't like it myself. And I think everybody goes through all kinds of, you know, machinations to try to defend it. I don't like it. And I don't know what you can do about it, honestly, because you could say, you have to tell us, you know, 24 hours before, you know, a guy sits. Well, he could get the flu at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I have seen that happen, you know, and there's a million different ways of getting around it, but I really don't like it, and I hate more the defending of it than the actual practice, because I hear all these things that I just don't believe.
Yeah, and Coach, I mean, to your point, look at the pounding that Harden takes night in and night out, and he still manages to stay in the game, and he doesn't rest very often. So, but speaking of James Harden, that coast-to-coast drive to win the game against the Nuggets, does that help bolster his MVP, you know, candidacy? And what are your thoughts of the way he's playing right now with the triple doubles and the way he's kind of put the team on his back these last five or six games?
Yeah, he's playing great. I tell you what, you know, I think for James, and that was always my thing, and, you know, D'Antoni took a different approach to it. I think James likes it better. I wanted to get James on the wing, get out ahead. I think when he's going downhill in a break situation, he's really unguardable. But he didn't like to run out ahead. He wanted to stay back and get the ball. He really, you know, James wasn't a runner out ahead. But when you can get him going downhill like he did that last drive, was phenomenal. I think he's making his case for the MVP. I just think a lot of people like me, I've said all year long, I think Harden's been the MVP. And I said that with a caveat. I said, but if Russell Westbrook does average a triple double, which it looks like he's going to do, how can you not vote for the guy? And that's something I never thought I'd see. And when a bunch of great players, Michael Jordan included, that were all bigger, longer, you know, LeBron James, couldn't do that. It is an amazing achievement. And so as it gets closer, man, I mean, I've been saying James, you know, all year long, with the caveat of, unless Russell does average a triple-double, and it looks like the guy's going to do it. So I just wonder how many people feel the same way, like, man, are we actually going to not give the MVP to a guy who's averaging a triple-double and his team's, you know, in the playoffs, and, you know, they're going to be a hard out. And I don't know. I don't know. And I think Kawhi Leonard definitely needs, you know, to get some talk, and Isaiah Thomas. But I think it's a two-man race between James and Westbrook.
Coach Kevin McHale, join us. Coach, we got to get a quick break in. If you could stick, I want to get your thoughts on, if you were coaching against the Houston Rockets, how you would prepare and what you would do as we get ready for the Rockets. So don't answer. Think about that. We'll be back. We're just getting a quick break.
No
problem. Kevin McHale going to be back with a lot more ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Coach Kevin McHale continues on with us for segment number two. We appreciate him stopping in, as he always does, most of the times weekly, but we like to give him his little break so he stays fresh. So we give him rest every now and then so that he can come back with fresh takes that you people want to get into. Playoffs around the corner, Coach. I teased it before the break, but something that I really want to get your opinion on as a former head coach in this league. You're going against your former team. And we all know, and I've been lamenting the fact that in the playoffs it's going to slow down, it's going to come to a grinding halt. In a 7-game series, teams are going to focus on trying to take things away and make you do other things. What is the strategy trying to stop the Rockets come a 7-game series?
Yeah, I would, depending on the team you have, like if you're able to have a a Wes Matthews, like for instance, when he played Portland a few years ago,
yep.
Or a Tony Allen, if you type, they'll just get up into James and just you know, foul the heck out of him. They quit calling stuff. They may call an early one, but you get away with a lot of stuff. That bothered James then. I think James is probably a little more mature right now. I think he'd be able to handle that better. But still, that has always kind of irritated James, just getting those guys upping him and roughing him up. Then I would double team him every single time early in the game, because he, you know, at the end of the day, James Harden's the scorer. He can really pass. He's leading the league in assists. He's got unbelievable vision. He's really a gifted, unbelievable offensive player. But he really is a scorer. He gets his juice from scoring. And if you double-team him and trap him all the time and made him throw it to Capella on the rolls, made him throw it, you know, to Anderson, made him throw it, and just took him out of the game and made the other guys beat you, it's one of those things. Would James continue to make the right player, or would he start pressing his offense a little bit and trying to get his a little bit, you know? And so that's how I would play it. And you're going to have to live with some of those guys making shots. You scramble back out. You got to kind of determine who you want to leave. Is it going to be, are you going to leave Patrick Beverley? Are you going to say, okay, look, we're going to rotate to Gordon. We're going to rotate to Anderson. Capella or Nene will be rolling down the paint. We got to take, can't give up dunks. But who are you going to give up the shot to? And, kind of direct the ball to someone and say, if we lose, we're going to lose because Patrick goes 7-for-11 from the 3-point line in the far four losses, you know. But I just think that would be the way I would play it, because James, as far as is it gets his juice. He's always been a scorer type guy who can really do everything else offensively, and then if I got off that, I would just put my most rugged guy on him and just kind of just try to rough him up, you know, chuck him, foul him, just do some stuff like that, try to get him out of his game.
So you have a goon on your bench and you're throwing him at James Harden, in other words. Can you, we talked about, because I said they would also try and double him before they and get the ball out of his hands. But the other question becomes then, can you take away the three from them? Because Barry brings up all the time a good point that it's not just James anymore as a three-point shooter that can shoot it when he's contested. You got Anderson, you got Gordon, you got Lou Williams.
Yeah.
But if you, especially if you have to put two defenders on James or do things to take the ball out of his hands, can you still defend the three or try and take that away from them because it's such a big part of their offense?
No, you're not going to be able to do both. They're going to be able to get threes. You're just going to have to determine who you want to take the three. Maybe do a lot of, you know, there are times as a coach, man, you just got to do a lot of heat checks. You got to just check the temperature on everybody, and you got to say, okay, look, tonight, you know, Anderson's got to go, and man, we can't leave him. We're going to leave Gordon, or Gordon's got to go, and we can't Lou Williams. They have enough guys that can shoot the ball from 3-point, Trevor Ariza included, and a bunch of other guys. But yeah, you know, you can't take away both. No, there's you really, honestly, in today's game, you can't take away the three. If teams are going to shoot it in transition, and if you're going to put two on the ball, someone's going to get an open three. So you can't take both away. But still, I would rather live with the, with the others beating you, as opposed to James getting 35 points and 12 assists. I just think that those are, you know, those nights when he does that are really hard to overcome. But the other, you know, I'm sure there's a team out there that feels just 180 degrees differently than I did. So, you know what, we'll give him everything. We'll switch. We'll just keep people in front of him. We're not allowing him to make a pass. You know what I mean? We're just, every time he gets it, we're going to switch. We'll switch the big on him. He's going to have to shoot jump shots. We're just not going to give him opportunities to find other people by putting two on the ball and leaving guys open. But, that guy's a problem. James is a problem. And when you're game planning for him, you've got to kind of determine, and again, after being around him and knowing him, I would double team him and I would take him out, knowing you are going to give up threes. Barry's right on that. You can't take away the 3-point totally, 3-point shot totally. I mean, look at everybody switches on Golden State. I just did their game against OKC. Everybody does all these things, and in that game, I think between the two of them, I think Steph Curry and Klay Thompson had like 28 or 29 three-point attempts between the two of them. Maybe three were bad shots. So you can generate threes. It's just hard to take that away.
Hey, Coach, we talked about this a little bit yesterday and the day before. If you're the Rockets, of the three teams that they have the potential to face between the Jazz, Clippers, and Thunder, what's the team you prefer to see?
Wow, you know what? I they all pose different things. I guess if I was them right now watching them play, I would say the Clippers. Clippers look funky to me. They just don't look good to me when they play. They just seem out of sorts. But you know, unfortunately, for any team they play, that could turn quickly. Utah is just going to grind you out. Utah's going to be one of those teams that's just going to come at you and fire away at you all the time. It's not going to be really high scoring games. They're going to be kind of muddied up games, and they're going to, they'll protect the paint. They're pretty rugged. They really compete hard. I think the Russell Westbrook factor. It's just, can Russell have 4 out of 7 games? He's not going to have 7 great games. But can he have 4 out of 7 that where he has those crazy, kind of, James, we talked about with James Harden, the 40-point, 15-assist, 12-rebound games. And that those are hard to win when you're the opposition if Westbrook puts that up. So I, right now I'd say probably the Clippers because they seem the funkiest.
Coach, do the Clippers worry you, though, that they could put it together? Barry and I were talking about this, and I said, look, they can just say that was the regular season injuries and otherwise, but they're deep enough that if they do put it together, they could be a problem?
Yes, agreed. That's what I said. They're scary. They're all kind of, if you look at all the teams, they're all kind of scary in their own right. But right now, when I look at it, the Clippers are playing the worst, to me, of those three teams. They just don't look good. I did the game with them, and I've watched them. I've done maybe 3 or 4 of their games this year, they just look out of sorts, and it's hard to really put your finger on it. But you're right. I'm just saying the Clippers. I think the Clippers because I think they're playing the worst. They bring that ability to all of a sudden say, hey, the playoffs have started, man. This is scratchy. Everything that's happened, forget all that crap, and then play better. And all of a sudden, you get their best. You're in trouble. But I tell you what, though, Russell Westbrook is a dangerous guy to face with that team. I don't think you have enough shooting around him and stuff like that. So I'd probably go, like, right now, Clippers, because they're playing the worst. OKC second, because I think that their supporting cast isn't quite good enough. And then probably Utah would be the team I'd least likely want to play. Just because they're going to be 3 or 4 of those games are going to be kind of muddied up, grinded out game where they're going to get you playing their style. For the Rockets, there are other teams that play well against Utah because I don't think that style bothers them as much. But, it's going to be a hell of a matchup. Kind of any one of those three teams poses problems. And, there's no guarantee.
Well, I got a guarantee for you, Coach. I guarantee you that because of this outstanding All-Star performance that we're going to give you the rest of the week off. We're going to let you rest. You're going to take a couple of days off.
Fantastic.
And then we're going to bring you off the bench slowly but get you back in next week.
Beautiful.
Coach McHale has been our guest. As always, we appreciate Kevin McHale joins us weekly. Coach, hit him straight. Give the family my best. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, guys. Take care.